are recording.
Hey, welcome everybody. Welcome to the podcast. We got a lovely gentleman today as our guest. You guys are going to be super excited to hear from him. Ton of value. And without further ado, Jerry, who do we got today, my man?
All right, guys. So it's Jerry with Sheepdog Ops. I'm your normal sultry voice of entertainment every week that we have. I know we missed Mike last week. He's down here below me right now. Hopefully that stays that way when we finish the recording.
That sounded like I'm down there blowing you, man. Let's go back a little bit.
I'm on top winners. Of both of you, so it's really fucked up.
Yeah. This is a good podcast. Yeah,
this is going to be a good one. It's going to be solid, guys. So we got Joe here with us. He is the owner and operator of CB Home Improvements. We are super psyched to have him out here with us today. And I know we're not out together. We're all doing this virtually, but
it doesn't matter.
I'm in my garage and wherever.
I'm in South Africa right now, actually. I'm in my local clubhouse fucking using free internet.
That's the way to do it. So, Joe, without further ado, I know you got some military service. I know you got your own company. Let's do a brief kind of intro of you and where you've been and what you've done, and then we'll get right into the content.
Absolutely. What's up, guys? So, like you said, Joe Axiotis, I'm the owner and operator of CB Home Improvements. I'm a 12-year Navy vet, combat engineer, CB. I took all those skills and started a company, and now I'm building houses in Rockland, California.
Beautiful. Real quick on that. When I first met this guy, I was like, yeah, what's a CB? So, for our audience, what is a CB, sir?
All right. So, way back in the day, World War II, you know, when we were building airstrips and we're building airstrips and all that stuff that was going on back then, they needed construction workers, so they were bringing civilian contractors in to build this stuff to provide, you know, war efforts. So what was going on World War II with the runways and all that, we brought in contractors to do all that stuff, and we had Marines and Army setting security and contractors were building. So Admiral Ben Morrell, I hope I said that right, he enacted a construction battalion. He took civilians and, you know, started offering. I messed it up. We're gonna cut and delete all that. I fucked all that up.
Not at all.
No,
not even a little bit.
Yeah.
This is gonna be completely basically raw. We're gonna throw some pictures at the beginning and at the end, and everything just fucked up. Everyone's gonna hear. So
I like it. All right. So, yeah, they started that. They needed CBs, so they started a construction battalion, and CBs were born, you know. Then we started taking over all Navy construction.
That's cool.
You know?
I'm going to be honest, Mike. You weren't the only one who had questions about it when you texted me and said this is what we were doing and who we were talking to. As an Air Force guy, we don't have those guys. We call them something different, obviously. Those are our contractors.
Yeah.
So it bewildered me also. So in case everyone's curious, I was learning as he was speaking as well.
Yeah. Sorry, I butchered that. It's been a long time since I got that deep into it. I'm gonna get so much hate too.
Nah, they're gonna love you. Yeah, the Army has construction and a team of that, but they're definitely not branded like the CBs are. So that's cool, man. That's a lot of good
guys. You know, with pride. Yeah, compassion for others we build. It's really cool.
Yeah. Yeah, I could tell right away when I met him that it's a stand-up guy. So we've been friends ever since.
How did you meet him again? I feel like this is a good story.
Actually, I can't remember.
So I met this knucklehead at the fair. So yeah. I was at the state fair. Me and my wife were walking around and probably had a couple too many adult beverages. And I stumbled across the veteran-owned Battle Rattle. So I jump in there. Drunk, talking shit about t-shirts. Oh, I'm a veteran, blah, blah, blah. And that was it. We just hit it off. You know, we've been friends ever since. We've done a couple t-shirt things. I've done a little work for him at his house. And that's it. Here we are.
That's it.
And it's the beginning of a beautiful relationship. I see it already.
Yep. And our second date was at a Starbucks. And that was my favorite, you know. So.
Yeah, we laid all the t-shirts out and draw a bunch. And
yeah.
Well, hey, I appreciate you guys becoming friends because it's led to what I've gotten to be able to do and be able to bring you on here and give us the opportunity to talk a little bit more in depth about what you've done, where you've been, where you're going. And I know there's people out there that they're going to need to hear some of the stuff that you have going on, even if it's stupid shit like some of the stuff we were talking about before we even started hitting the record button.
Yeah.
Someone somewhere, as you know, this has kind of been my mantra when I'm talking to people about the podcast, is everyone has a story and someone somewhere needs to hear it. And so I'm super excited about this and I'm glad that you're here. So let's dive right into this. Obviously, we have that you were 12 years in the military. You have your CB stuff. Where have you been? What have you done? I think that's the big question here.
So active duty, we're all over the place being CBs. You know, we were a part of OIF, OEF back in 2003, 2004. We were real hot and heavy over there. Since then, been in Papua New Guinea, Australia, Afghanistan, Kuwait a bunch of times, Cuba 4 times. We did a lot of Pacific partnerships over there. Been a lot of cool places, did a lot of cool things, a lot of schools in New Guinea, water towers, a lot of block buildings, you know.
So if we were to go back to the beginning, where, how, because I wasn't Navy, obviously, and Mike, you weren't Navy, you're barely military if you ask me as it is. We went into a whole thing last week. If you missed that, or a couple weeks ago when we had Veteran Effects on, we went into a whole thing. It was fun. Good old fun joking right there. But how long is your guys' boot camp? How long is the training to get into to do the CB stuff that you did?
So Navy CBs is just like any other job in the Navy. Okay, you still got to go through regular basic training up in Great Lakes, and I believe that's 13 weeks now, or they may have brought it down to 9. I don't know what these vaginas are doing today. But it's 13 weeks, and then from there you go to A school. Depending on if you're going to be a steel worker, a builder, or a mechanic, or an equipment operator, most of those are in different locations, just like any other MOS or whatever you guys do in the Air Force.
AFSC. That's
that shit.
We made up our own acronym for that crap.
Yeah. What were we talking about? So boot camp, you get out of boot camp, and same thing. Every sailor's got to go through that boot camp. Nothing different, right? Same thing. And from there, you go to CB replacement training. It used to be CB replacement training. I'm not sure if it's like that anymore. You just get used to what it is to be a CB. You're not a sailor. You're not in the fleet. You're not doing that stuff. You're more of a construction worker with an M60, you know? And it goes into all the intricate details of all the MOS weapons that we use. And then you go to your skill shade, your skill, you go to your rate. Wherever you're going, whether it's a steel worker, builder, whatever, you go to that place, go to your A school, and that's how you start.
So within the CB MOS, you specify whether you work in plumbing or construction or steel fabrication, or is there?
Yeah, pretty much. Just like you have an MOS, we have a rate or a rating. I was in SW1. I was a steel worker, first class E6. And those, your MOS is our rate. So we have the steel worker SW, the builder BU, electrician, plumber, which is a utilities man, equipment operator, and a engineering aide. And there's a couple odds and ends in there, and they're changing all the time, man.
Yeah.
All the time.
Well, we're blowing more shit up all the time, so we need to fix it, right?
Yeah. Well, they're trying to get – they wanted to get rid of the CBs for a long time, you know? It was a very quiet division of the Navy, and wasn't really funded for a long time because we were – you know, they didn't need us for a long time.
Does that have to do with, because I know when I worked contracts, obviously alongside the Air Force at like Nellis and stuff like that, where majority of the base is contractor, they find it a lot cheaper to run contracts because they can bring them in. They don't have to keep up with the annual training and certain aspects that you have to do as far as being military. Yeah. Yeah. They don't have to pay the benefits out, a lot of things like that. Is that where a lot of that came from and stemmed from?
Yeah, well, it just came from, they just didn't have the skill and the speed that it needed to get done.
Okay.
You know, when you get tasked with, hey, you got to go build this bunker, do this, you can only do it so fast. You need more people. And that's what happened. They brought in civilian contractors, and the construction battalion was born.
Okay. Wow.
You know, and then
so it's a mixture of the MOS and contractors coming in to complete the jobs?
It used to be, yes, just like that. Now it's just straight CDs. They have civil engineer officers that have PE stamps and can draw prints and all that shit. And like your NAVFAC command, they do all the engineering and shit.
It's cool. I was hoping it was going to be like that so that you could keep training the people to get better skills for kind of what you're doing now, I guess.
In A school, they do that. They'll bring in pretty high certified welders and pretty good welding instructors. When I went to A school, Matt Konzak was our instructor. He was the same instructor for like 40 years. Damn. He was the same A school instructor in Gulfport, Mississippi for almost 40 years, I think. He, stupid genius, like smartest man I've ever met, could weld paper together.
Besides me, of course.
Questionable at best. That's what we're
in. Questionable that way. So they do that. They'll bring in an expert in A school and train you up real good. And when you get out to the battalion, to the fleet, you just polish those skills with A schools and C schools and continuous training, continued leadership training as well. Because although you might be, you know, building a house, building a runway, a sea hut, or whatever you're doing, but you're still leading troops as well.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. It's harder because you have not only the job to do, but you have your military duties as well, plus any other standard they're going to throw at you. So in that regard, the civilian has an up because they could focus entirely on the job. But it's respectable, that's for sure.
Yeah, and when you're on deployments and things like that, it's planned for. Your non-productive time and productive time, you know, so many people have medical appointments and dentals and, oh, shit, my toe hurts, med call shit, you know.
Yeah.
All that stuff's planned for. Because when you're messing with the money, we mess with million-dollar projects, multinational projects. You know, you just – it's got to get done.
Yeah, you can't. Yeah. It's only so much messing up that you could do.
Yeah, on Uncle Sam's expense.
Yeah.
Right? Exactly.
I mean, questionable at best.
Yeah. Questionable. Yeah.
Nice. I've known quite a few people who are on contracts that, they probably shouldn't have been there. That's neither here nor there, and I'm not going to sit here and degrade anyone or anything.
I love it, man. I love what we do. I love the CBs. I love the military. I love what it does for young sailors getting into the military. That just – the fleet's different. There's no other way to put it. When you're on a boat, it's different. You know, it's a different animal. It's highly – it's a necessity. It has to happen. But it's not for everybody. So I think people that want to join the Navy but yet – being on a boat, deployment, things like that is scary for them. You know, being a CB allows you to work with your hands, take a little pride in your work, shoot some shit, build some really cool stuff in really cool places, and just be different, man.
That kind of leads right into my next question, actually. So,
here's my cat.
The coolest – look at that pussy. The coolest thing – the coolest place that you've built or you've been, and the coolest thing that you've had to build or biggest thing that you've had to build, what are those kind of objects? Because obviously there's going to stick in your head, right?
Oh, yeah. I am that right now. Like Pacific Partnership 06, 07, I think, was my most rewarding deployment. I just made E6. I had my own – shoot, my whole deployment, really. We built – two schools, started another one, and three water towers in about 6 months. And seeing the joy in those kids' faces when they saw running water for the first time.
Wow.
Running water, like, to see that. I mean, we built a 38-meter water tower, and we built this fucker, right? And we built it, and they got us this huge 30,000-liter tank, which is crazy. And we put it on this thing. We filled it all the way up, and they sent us the wrong tank. It was too heavy for the structure we built. So the whole thing, all night, it turned on, it was filling up, and then it kicked, like, I don't know.
Oh,
shit. It got fucked up. And I thought, oh, shit, I'm losing my job. I did something wrong. My welds failed. The concrete failed, something. I'm like, I'm done. And the engineer shows up, and before he got out of his car, he was like, that's the wrong tank. Did anybody die? Oh, shit. And thank God, my skipper was right there, the XO, everybody was right there, and the civilian contractor, the civilian engineer was like, that's the wrong tank.
And wow.
They all paused right there at the driveway of the job site, and I saw him, like, I'm losing, I'm done, they're going to kick me out. And everybody came up smiling, happy, coking and joking. I'm like, what? Wrong water tank, not your fault, dude. It was great. But it was cool because we tore that all the way down, back to foundation, built up even a better one with a metal tank. And it was awesome. All my troops built me this stupid coat hanger, leaning tower of water tower thing. Gave me shit for like 4 years because they thought I welded it wrong.
Gave you a good memory token.
Yeah, it was awesome.
That's really cool. There's a good lesson in that, though. You do it wrong, but you'll just tear it down, learn to do it right. That's pretty cool.
It was a great lesson for the real junior troops that didn't understand what structural steel really was and how, even though it looks like a super strong piece of iron, it doesn't matter. There's something stronger. When you put 180,000 pounds of water on something, it's going to
It's just going to bend it and ruin it anyway, right?
And that's exactly what it did. It was only I think it was supposed to be like a 20,000 liter tank, and they gave us a 30 or a 50 or something like that. And the shit arrives on the job site and you throw it up. There's no time in those. And you know, when you're in theater,
you follow the book, you follow the word, and then from there, right?
You know what? It was really cool though. The civilian contractors, the engineer really kind of saved my ass. Like, dude, it's not your fault. You didn't do anything wrong. You know, maybe it was the project manager didn't get the right fucking tank here, but regardless, it's my job site. It was hilarious though. It was probably still to this day my best memory in the military.
That's good.
Once it was all good, we connected that water tower, piped water all the way down to the new town, new school we just built, a block bathroom with toilets and running water and sinks. And when they let all these kids in, I tell you what, Google some videos of Papua New Guinea. Every kid walks around with a machete. And they dropped their machetes and walked in the bathroom, and it was just like Christmas for these kids. They didn't know what a flushing toilet was. They didn't see water. It was awesome. It was like seeing 600 kids Christmas morning just by flushing a toilet. It's amazing. It's awesome. Yeah, I love it. I'd go back right now if I could.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah. Where are we going after that?
So, go ahead.
Go ahead, Mike.
I was just going to say, I mean, those are really cool stories and heartfelt kind of things that you would see other people that never had those things. So how did all that kind of shape you, or how did all that, like, was there specific construction experience that you got? What did you do after this? How did it lead to what you're doing now? Because
I understand what you're asking. Yeah. So as a steel worker, we deal with everything, almost all aspects of construction. Instead of just framing and roofing, we deal with the concrete, the rebar, the structural reinforcement, all that stuff. So it gives you vast construction experience, job site experience, time, boots on ground experience that you just don't get anywhere else. You know, if you go out to the builders union, the labor union, the wood union, all that stuff, you have to get so many hours to get your journeyman and stuff. You know, 6-7 years of job sites every 4 months, you get all that experience. So Joe Schmo that came out of high school is framing houses for, you know, Joe Framer is only framing houses. When as a CB, you go through from foundation to keys and door to everything, and it's awesome. The experience you get is bar none. Nobody can compare to it. On all aspects, plumbing, electrical, foundation, structural, engineering, all of it.
My big question is how does that translate as far as certifications go? Because obviously you have a huge difference between when you're in the military and what you learn and transferring that to a civilian job and transferring that to the civilian ability, as it were, because of the stringencies of states and codes and things like that.
Yeah, that's a good question. That's probably one of the most unique transitioning obstacles you're going to find coming out of the CBs to the civilian world, because there's plenty of transitioning programs. You can get your journeyman hours and all that stuff. And I was hot and heavy on that shit. I was getting all my signatures signed off, all the officers documenting my hours. And when I got out, I went to the steelworker union and it was like, the fuck is this? There was a huge disconnect from us and the real world. And that's been since solved, thank God. But it was a learning curve because I had a lot of troops getting out with hundreds and hundreds of steelworking hours, iron, time, safety, all that stuff. It was nothing, you know, it meant nothing to anybody. And it was a huge black eye for that program. And I was severely disappointed with it because I'd have got out as a journeyman welder making buku bucks. And it didn't happen. I went and welded for Budweiser for a little bit. That was cool though. I loved welding for Budweiser. It was awesome. Free case of beer every week.
So what made you not go on the welding route? I didn't realize that. You just didn't like it as much?
You know what? I love welding. I love the art of sticking metal together. That may sound fucking stupid, but there's an art form to welding that very few people understand. You talk to any welder, they understand. You talk to a guy that just sees metal being stuck together. I love the art form behind it. But as a production welder, you lose the you lose the art, you lose the drive, you lose the fabrication. And I'm a fabricator at heart. You know, I'd rather be bending, cutting metal any day of the week.
Well, that's what's funny is because I spent my time, obviously, I did non-destructive inspections in the military. So I spent a lot of time with metal spec guys and the fabrication flight. That was our our big thing. Those are the guys are all working with metal and sheet metal and stuff like that. And our metals tech guys, they're just a little bit different because they love welding. They love building stuff and creating things. But every single one of them that I've talked to when they get out, they just do it for themselves. They do it as a hobby. They do it as just a piece of them because it's something that's fun for them.
It's a dirty, nasty, grimy job. It's not for everybody. No one wants to go home smell like burnt skin and hair every day with slag in your hair and ears. You know, it's a unique, pretty grimy job. I love it. I just don't want to do it every day. I'd rather sit in my garage and build cool shit.
You know, that's cool. So
I love it. I love what we do. You know, I think I'm living the American dream right now. I'm really happy with my life and the direction it's going. I'm proud to be here with you guys. I'm a proud supporter of the military and what we came from.
This is a classic example, ladies and gentlemen, of somebody who is not average. They stuck with their dream and they said, F you middle class and F your 9-to-5. I'm going to make it happen.
Bro, that's kind of what happened. When I was in the oil field welding for a little bit in the oil field as well. I did that for way too long. I did it too long and I ended up getting hurt, 2 back surgeries. Thank God I'm here now. That grind is crazy. I love it though.
Yeah.
I really love it.
It's something you have to love. You gotta love it to keep doing it and keep pushing and to keep building on it, because you know what, it tears you down from time to time, and
yeah,
that's got to be hard to realize.
Yeah, so after I got hurt, I was like, I'm not welding anymore, I'm not on this oil field anymore, what the hell am I gonna do? And started doing a couple side jobs for my buddies, built a couple decks, and then I was like, you know what, I'm doing this. I was in my room, actually I was in this room right now, my wife was in the room. She said, babe, I'm starting a company. She goes, okay. You know, so that was it, that's how it started. A two-room shout, hey babe, start a company.
So you literally got hurt, got med boarded, and then you were just sitting there and did side jobs and then decided to do it?
Let me bridge that gap. I might have skipped over something. So when I got out, I went and welded for Budweiser Allied, their company. That got terminated. They lost a loan and they had to buy me out of my contract, which was awesome. Awesome. You know, so I don't know how people have that much money to waste, but whatever.
So you just got a bunch of free money because you didn't get the money for doing the contract?
Exactly. They were going to build a building. It didn't get funded. I was under contract for 3 years as a inspector, NDT inspector and welder. And they lost the contract and had to buy out 80% of my 3-year contract.
Damn.
I didn't even know that clause was in. That's the funny part.
Yeah, you got
read
lucky.
Your contracts.
This is what they tried to do, man. The company's not there anymore, so I think I can talk about it. They signed me for a specific dollar amount for a specific amount of years, right? But for the first 8 months of that, I was a fabricator on the table, welding for big money, not my $27, $8 an hour, until the department got up and running. I'll do that all day long, you know? And it fell through, and they put me back on a table for $19 an hour or something. I'm like, whoa, not going to happen. Gave my 2 weeks, all that. Starting looking for jobs, and got called into the office, and like, everybody was so pissed off. They just looked mean and grumpy. And obviously there was an attorney there. And I was like, all right, what's up? He goes, do you want to work here? I said, yes, but I want to continue our deal. Not going to happen. So they tried to buy me out for like 30, 40 small, you know, $3,000, $4,000, $5,000. And I said, that's not going to happen, guys. Like, we made a deal here. I'm trying to be a businessman here and do this the right way and not put you on blast and lawsuit and all that stuff. And it worked out well for everybody. Everybody involved worked out really well for.
So when you got bought out, that 3-year period is when you started to decide to do the CB home improvements?
Yeah, I was sitting on my butt a little bit and doing side jobs here and there, and then started, you know, we don't have a purpose every day. Well, not a purpose, but we don't have a direction every day, you know. It just gets old. You got to find something to do. So there was a good 3-4 months there I didn't need to do anything. You know, I was separated from the military. I was separated from the, you know, welding and oil field. And I'm like, oh, shit, I got to do something.
Yeah, you know? That's cool. You know, another thing that I kind of admire about you, man, is you seem to have a personality that you're always looking forward to something. Yeah. Like, you don't ever look – I've never even heard a past story from you, actually, until we did this podcast. But you are always a person that, like, a few words out of your mouth was you know, I got to make this work, man. I got to make this work. We got to do something. We got to do something. You've been telling me that since the day I met you. I was like, damn, dude, I don't even know what the hell you're talking about, but I love it, man. What the fuck are we going to do?
Failure is not an option, man. The man in the mirror is the only person you're accountable to. And failure is not an option. I got two kids. I got a kid in college. I got a 16-year-old and a beautiful house and a beautiful wife. And failure is not an option, you know? So what did old Bush say? Either you're with us or you're against us. So jump on board or get the hell out of my way.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I love that. But share with our listeners, like, how do you do that? How do you wake up every morning? What are you looking forward to now, man, with CB Home Improvements? Like, what is the next thing for you that gets you up and to keep that, oh, this is going to be me in fucking 10 months?
Dude, I just got goosebumps thinking about it, man. I, you know, it's providing the life I never had for my family. That's it.
Simple.
Period. That simple date. Period. That's the end goal, providing the life I didn't have, you know. Fortunately, I live in a really nice area. We're doing things really good, and I love it. So I wake up every day ready to kick the world's ass because I'm going to provide for my family, and I'm going to be the dad I never had. She's going to be the mom she never had, you know, and we're going to give our kids the best life we can. You know, if it's me working 80, 90, 110 hours a week, that's what's going to happen. But I have a couple goals. I have a 10-year goal, a 5-year goal with this company. You know, it started off as just home improvements. It was just me coming to your house, fixing the honeydew stuff, fixing the lazy husband stuff that he didn't want to get off the couch and do, or the guy just didn't have time to do. And it just slowly progressed into, I did a couple big bathrooms after that. And I just saw there was a future and I didn't need the money. So I got into this saying, you know what? I'm not going to be that contractor that screws over everybody. Everything's going to be upfront, open, in your face. You're going to know dollar A, dollar B, you know what I'm making, you know what you're spending, period. And I think it's working.
Yeah, that probably works out.
That's the biggest thing that we've found with this podcast right here is talking to people about being real.
Yeah.
It reaches so many more people because they understand that we don't cut and edit. We don't fucking do all this stuff that everyone else is doing to kind of clickbait and create this conversation that never really happened. And, you know, that's the coolest thing about your stuff. And then being on here and with what we're doing here is just trying to bring that real. There's still people out there who are fucking real. There are still people out here, guys, I tell you, who say Mondays are awesome.
I fucking love Mondays, bro. Love it. Oh, I love it. Like, I wish I could have a Monday every day, man. Like, you get that weekend. For a long time, I didn't have a Monday or a Sunday. I mean, I went like, you know, I went like 610 days straight without a day off. It was disgusting. Probably not 610, but it was a long fucking time. So once the company's getting to a level, you know, I don't have to work weekends. And I was like, oh shit, what do I do with myself? All right, I'm going to work. That probably happened for 6-7 months. Nothing to do, nothing. And then I started, hey, you got to enjoy your time, the little victories, because this job can suck sometimes. Owning your own business can be difficult. And if I had air, I probably would have pulled it out. But it's been the funnest, scariest thing I've ever done in my life. I love it. Yeah. I fucking love it, dude. I really do. It's, I can't wait. Like, I'm starting a garage in like 2 days. I'm building this whole dude's garage out just for one lounge chair and a 98-inch TV in his garage. All tile walls, beautiful lights, just his couch and one TV and nobody else. How cool is that?
He must have some high-quality porn that he's watching in that garage.
Dude, I think this guy, man, this guy, I met him at the dentist. Oh, wow. The dentist. And he's
you're
telling
to impress me about my own garage right now, looking around.
I know, you're in the corner there in your garage.
I can't even tell you what this guy does, man. Like, stupid money. Stupid money. And I hear him talking on the phone like, I just want my space. My space. He hangs up on whoever's
website online. He can still have that.
I was like, hey, can I help you with anything? You know, I'm a builder. I build stuff, blah, blah, blah. You know, I'm probably not that, you know, stupid. And we started talking. He goes, this is what I want. I said, let's do it. He goes, well, no contractor will do it. I said, why? He goes, because it's not normal. I said, dude, I'll build whatever the hell you want to build. If you're ready to pay for it, you're ready to take all the city inspections and everything we got to do to make it right, let's fucking do it. I'll build a damn castle in your front yard. You know, so that's it. We're about to start something really cool for this guy. And the bad thing is I can't even take any pictures of it. I can't do a damn thing. He's like, you can't put it on your website or anything, right? Why? You're about to put $40,000 into a garage. Huh. And I take a picture of it, dude. He goes, you want the job?
Why does he not want nobody to know about it?
You know, people with that type of money, man, they don't, their privacy, they value their privacy, you know?
Yeah, that makes sense. That's all good.
I don't have that kind of money, so I don't understand that.
I got a lot of commission that won't.
That logic doesn't. Well, I don't either. You know that logic.
I like my new things, and I like to show them off when I get one. Very rare. So, yeah. I don't understand this concept.
Yeah, these guys. I did a lot of Granite Bay jobs. I built a lot of houses up there, or did a lot of stuff in houses up there, and they don't want any pictures. They don't want nobody knowing what their bathroom looks like, how they keep their shampoo niches, and what water fountain they have, what water fixtures they have. You know, no freaking female owner allows me to take a picture of their faucet water valve if it's got a handheld. And I said, why? And I finally figured it out. 90% of fucking girls that want a handheld want it for a reason. And they don't want other people knowing that. That took me about 3 years to figure out. And I stopped installing it because I went like 9 months without having a picture. I'm like, I can't do this. You guys are killing me. So then I put a social media clause in it. But whatever. Weird.
Awkward. What? That's pretty cool.
Mike didn't get the joke.
Yeah, I'm daydreaming right now.
Apparently, you're not involved in this joke, or you haven't seen what is that? The American Reunion movie.
Mike, do you have a hand wand in your shower?
Cut a couple of them.
Really? Is it yours or your wife's?
Yes. The answer to that question is yes.
My shower doesn't even work, man, as you know.
Oh, yeah. Dude, I know a guy.
Yeah.
Hey, I know a guy now, too. In case you're curious, I know a guy. Hook you up.
Thanks, man.
You got a military discount.
As long as you have a cat card, which I hear you have trouble getting.
Let me break this out for you. I just found my E4 ID card, cleaning out my toolbox.
Oh, wow.
I didn't know I had it. I don't even know if I'm supposed to have it, but.
Are you going to show us that?
I don't know where it is. I have to get up and.
That seems like a lot of work right now.
Yeah, fuck all that.
Go look for a fucking ID card. Yeah.
But yeah, you know, I stopped putting hand wands in the shower just so I could take pictures of them. And it's exciting building cool shit for cool people. It really is. And it's
so on a regular basis, how many different contracts do you have going on? Are you just a one at a time kind of guy? Do you have a few at a time? How intricate does this get?
I have 1, 2, 3, 4 open contracts right now. And I just rotate them. Many of my jobs go from 3 to 4 weeks, and I just start them 2 weeks out. So I overlap 2 weeks every 2 weeks. And I couldn't manage it well at first, doing the social media, the contracting, the estimating, the planning, all that. I thought I could, and I burnt myself out. Small business burnout is real. And I didn't believe it was real. I said, oh, you grind, 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 monster, 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 grind, grind. And it doesn't work. And it was a valuable lesson. I crashed hard. It was a valuable lesson. You know, I got a great support system. My wife was like, dude, you love building, but this isn't you, you know? And I stopped working weekends, started eating a little better, you know, and taking that little victories. And then time management's huge. Not, you know, you got to squeeze things in when you can squeeze it in, and then switch from business to, hey, let's go to Dave & Buster's.
I still need to go to one of those.
Oh my God. Bring your wallet. Bring you a wallet. It's going to be expensive.
I'm good looking. I think I can get some free drinks out of there.
There's some good looking chicks in there.
Buddy. I got a hand wand in the shower.
It's the one I lent him. That's why I don't have one.
Oh my God. We're doing your shower next, so I'll put you in two, one on each side.
So you bring up a great point. I think this is one thing that we've, out of everyone we've talked to and anyone that we've kind of interviewed on here, as far as any career field that we've talked to, the one thing that hasn't been brought up really is time management.
Oh, my God. Probably the biggest smack in the face. I wouldn't say the biggest, but lessons learned in business is time management.
Is that the hard thing to do? Is it hard to do because you think that you can get it all done at once, or because you realize – when it comes down to it, you may not have the help or the assistance that you needed to get it all done?
You know, it's a combination of all of that, because you have to find that balance of anybody, a business owner, if you start your own company, the goal is to do less for more money, right? You know, you want to spend time with your family, spend time doing whatever, traveling, your car, radios, whatever it is, whatever you want to do, you're working hard to provide that life for whoever, yourself and whatever. So once you start realizing where you're missing dollars and you're like, oh, I could be doing this right now. What do I think I'm doing? You know, and utilizing those little blocks of time, like just when we were BSing before we hit record, you know, I sent out 3 invoices. Yeah. Normally I would wait till 11 o'clock at night while I'm laying in my bed. Oh, I got to grind.
Yeah. I could agree with that, because right now I'm even checking sales and replying to people in the background.
Yeah, get off.
That's why I got lost, you know.
Yeah.
But you kind of make time where you – sorry to interrupt you.
That's why I'm here. I carry on the whole interview while he's over here.
Well, here's the thing.
Bro, you become way more efficient. That's what it is. It's
exactly. And my daughter's the one that called me out on it.
Yeah.
She's the one, you know, she's up at Humboldt State University. She's going to vet school up there. This fucking girl, oh my God, she's genius. I don't know where she came from, but time management. She called me out and was like, why are you so stressed out? There's like 9 more hours in the day. I'm like, oh yeah. Okay, let me go do this then. Let me take a break. Let's go eat. Let's, you know, she's the one that actually sent the nail home. I always knew I was kind of pushing it too hard and kind of that direction. And she's the one that called me out. A 17-year-old girl called me out on it. It was true.
Wow.
It was true. You know?
Well, they could see it, man. She knows you the best. So. Yeah.
But since then, man, I if there's a spot of time to use it, utilize it. Whether it's marketing, sales,
right.
Checking up on a customer, calling back, you know, are you happy with everything? Just little bits of time, small victories.
Yeah. That follow-up is pretty crucial too.
Yeah.
I find that, because that's the coolest thing that I've found is I don't have to work with a customer directly. I don't have to work with a person directly. I'm not selling anything from what I'm doing personally. That's what I have Mike for. He sells all the other stuff. So I get to just be the people person, and I love doing that. And I think that's what's been the coolest thing is – the fact that I've had people reach out to me with that are vets that have suicide issues, or their wife, they caught them, and all this other stuff that happens over.
Jody got them, huh?
Yeah, and it, or Sancho, based on the.
I haven't heard Sancho since, oh my God, Italian days. Oh, Gulfport, Mississippi. Got
so,
on the door, Sancho's there.
Hell, Sancho. So count
days, huh?
Oh my God.
So it's been because the reality, like checking this, because obviously I'm trying to run a business here. It's not a business for profit right now. This is just something I love doing. I love talking to people, finding out their stories and getting them out there. You're running a business from a different aspect. So are you, Mike? And all of it rolls in together, because if I don't reach out and I don't make sure that I'm talking to all these people, they don't come back. They don't want to make sure that they're a part of it. And so the time management is crucial. I'm answering emails, 2 o'clock in the morning, and I still got to go to my regular job.
And that's what I'm learning, you know, dealing with you guys a little bit now, working with people that are in the high inventory business, you know, Mike, like you, and then the internet side of your business, it's only making me more powerful. You know, I'd love to say I'm sitting here, I love bullshit and coking and joking with you guys, but I have altered it. Like, Mike's making t-shirts, get my brand out there. That's how my mind works. Like
you could leverage us, you know. Everybody leverages each other, but
exactly.
Yeah, you're right. Anything in inventory nowadays is tough. That's what's so cool about your job, is if you have it priced out right, you could just buy the material when the job comes, or collect the money first, basically.
Yeah, and learning how to do that the right way, you know, right. For a long time, it's, you know, it's a slap in the mouth. I was doing it the wrong way. I was not contracting the correct way. I didn't have good detailed contracts, detailed specifications, when I was getting money, how I was getting money, who was paying for what. Another huge slap in the face. Another Shark Tank lesson I should have paid attention to.
Yeah, nobody likes a contractor whose prices keep going up throughout the job. That's pretty much the worst.
Yeah, I think mine was how I took my draws, my material draws. You know, I didn't have a shit ton of money. When you're spotting $60,000 on a kitchen cabinet job, you're like,
yeah,
that's a huge nut. Especially when the wife picks up the call and is like, hey, where's the money? Sorry, babe, it's sitting in the customer's driveway right now. Stressful.
Where was your influence that kind of steered you on the right path and kind of gave you the lessons that you needed to learn to kind of get where you are?
Stop thinking I knew everything. That's the biggest thing. you know, as a typical dude, especially cocky military guy, you know, you think you know the world. You think you got the world by the balls. And trust me, I know my way around a welder, but I did not know my way how to run a business. And going to school, learning everything every day, taking those lessons and learning from them, doing after action reviews. Like I do them all the time. I have a whole folder sitting right here. These are my lessons, right? I put all that stuff in. It's a thing I adopted from the military. If something went wrong on a project, I don't care what went right, because it usually goes right. Put that, what went wrong? How do I fix it? How do I never happen again? And I always told myself that, but it changed once I put it on paper. Once I started holding myself accountable on paper, like, do this, you didn't do this, go back and do this, you're like, oh, the man in the mirror has a voice now.
Yeah.
Holy shit, the military did something right.
I know, for real.
Yeah, I think the most successful people actually focus on those problems and how to solve them quickly. And then, you know, the bigger your problem actually is, that sometimes that's where more opportunity lies, because it's a lot of stuff that is wrong with a lot of people. And if you could convert those and find that efficiently, you know, like Jerry, go ahead.
Oh, I had a good senior chief back in battalion, Senior Chief Van Gordon. He's taken over the world. You're going to see him on CNN one day, I promise you.
Can we get an interview before then?
Oh, for sure. He's probably – I foresee him being the MCPON, the Master Chief Petty Officer of the Navy, eventually. I really do. Wow. Awesome guy. Learned so much from him, you know. A man that held me accountable and still stayed a good leader. Good man. Really good man. He said, who gives a fuck about what you're doing right? If you're doing it right, you're doing it
right. Right.
I was a naval instructor for a while. I was teaching classes in NCTC and all that. And he goes, throw all your good compliments away. They don't mean nothing. Take your negative ones. And since I did that, and then I started applying it in the business 8-10 years later, I mean, night and day differences from here to here, night and day. You can pinpoint in the bank statements, in the P&L statements, exactly when I started doing something in it. That's when I knew. I said, you know what? I should probably turn this into something. I think I can figure this out.
I think it's the people that realize that everything they're doing, there is no right answer, and everything is screwed up, and then they're never satisfied. They keep going to the next because that's just who they are, and they become that. Like, when you first start a fucking business, man, no joke. Like when you said it earlier, you do it because you think you're going to get some financial freedom, and you think you're going to spend some more time with your, you know, brand new car or your son and stuff like that. But the reality is, hey man, you're not an average guy settling for a piece of shit retirement and a 9-to-5 job. You came into this. You got to make it work to become super duper.
There's not an option.
Yeah, but then what happens is you do catch a wave of success. And then most successful people, I think they like that and they enjoy it. So they keep going and they don't know where to stop. And then like, they just the type of people they are, man.
Yeah.
But there's no, the train does not, it's misleading when you tell people, well, a lot of people want to do that. They want to get in business so that they could eventually step off the train. I don't think it works like that, but I mean, it could. You could take a company.
I think it's about your position at that point. I was listening to NBA president of I forget what team it was today, because they were replaying the draft, something like that, and he said something along the lines of, "You're doing the right thing when you become, as the person in charge, you become the dumbest person that's in the room, because now you're hiring people around you who are competent, smart people that you can trust to get the job done."
Exactly.
Yeah, that are experts in that field. That's the goal. That's the dream. But
I just contacted an old teacher of mine, and I don't. It just happened on Facebook. You just stumble across somebody like, oh my God, you know. She told me once that most A students work for D students.
Yeah.
And that kind of hit home, because you know, I got a project manager right now. He's got a master's in, I don't know, project management or something crazy like that. And, you know, he's working for me. I don't have a degree. I don't got shit.
Right.
You know, and I'm paying him good money.
That's cool.
So, like, he's making good money. He's using his degree to help me. And, fuck, I don't have a college education.
Yeah.
I have B right here. B. These are what make my dreams come true. Something I can build and have. Dude, there's nothing like building something. Your hand, looking back, like, I did that.
Yeah, that's pretty cool, man. I'm a little envious of that. I'd love to just know how you build stuff and have that experience. But I would say, like, the moral of the story is, if you're odd, and somebody tells you, why don't you fit in, and you're odd and you're not thinking, or why would you ever want to be different? Why would you ever want to start your own thing? That's a good thing. Don't fucking.
I got a lot of hate when I first started this. You know, there are so many CBs that get out with the idea of being a contractor. But as a CB, if you're doing the work in a battalion, in a deployment, whatever, if you're that E3 to E5 and you're really boots on ground, I'm not saying my E6s don't work, but they don't work. you don't get the management skills that you need. And then when you get the management skills, you start leading troops, you get a squad leader, your battalion commander, whatever you are, your skills fall off. You know, yeah. I bring in a plumber. I bring in a really good friend of mine from battalion 2 or 3 months ago. I flew him out. I said, hey, man, we were good friends. You know, let's try to be part of this company. You can buy some. We'll work it in. I trust you. I know you know stuff. But he didn't understand the production and the speed and the compliance that we have to do here.
Hmm.
And it was a huge – I don't want to say it ended the friendship, but it was really hard because when you bring him in, you got to redo something at your expense.
Yeah.
You're messing with money then. And there's a huge disconnect between talent and where you think you are.
Yeah.
So
you could see talent. You could see talent right away. Yeah.
Well, even if you have talent, it doesn't mean that you get the importance or you get the urgency or you get the need to why we're doing it and we have to do it quickly and efficiently.
Yeah. That's true.
But if you don't do it quickly and efficiently, now you're wasting money.
Yeah, or if there's a missing link where you don't understand it.
Unless you're military or military contractor, then you're just earning money because you're paid hourly anyway, and they don't really give two shits about every time until it's done.
I've done so many of these kitchen and baths now. I have so many things priced out per man hour, how it's going to get paid, when the material draw is coming up. It's almost clockwork. And you throw somebody in the mix there that can't do it as fast as you planned on doing it, and correctly. Speed means nothing if it's wrong. It just hurts you. And I went through that. I'd bring some people in that I thought were going to keep up with my speed and quality. And I put the money out there and I lost. So I went back and I did what I do. I fix it. I make it right. And it just springboarded me again to another level. Hey, this is the learning lesson. This is what you got to do. Wrote it in my book, learned from it. And then it hasn't happened since. So
that's good. You learned from it and you fixed it.
Yeah.
All right. So let's see here. So one thing I wanted to say, Joseph, is I want you and Jerry to come out to these like events that we're starting to go to. And so I wanted to say, once you're there, like people will watch this, right? And yeah, they'll be like, oh yeah, shit, my shower's fixed or my tile's cracked or I got a flipper that I'm doing. So why don't we go into like what you could do for our veteran community watching the Sheepdog Ops podcast, so that they know for you what you could do, what you could help them with. You know what I mean?
I got you. Let me start this off. If you're a veteran and you know anything about construction or you think you know about construction, call me. I'm hiring. I want veterans working for me. I want people I can trust that show up on time, that aren't dirty, that have driver's license, that know how to read a tape measure. You know, these are skills that you would think would be common.
Yeah.
You think I'd be able to go down anywhere, and it's not. It's drastic. It's crazy how there's a huge gap between the college kids and the tradesmen right now. You either get a tradesman that's been doing it for 40 years and he wants, you know, $85 an hour, which I can't afford, or you have the college kid never touch a damn hammer in his life. And then you got this bridge of people that want $40 an hour with no transportation and don't know how to read a tape measure. It's crazy. So right now there's a huge disconnect between people's hands and their mouth. And it needs to be filled. It needs to be filled quick. So if you're a veteran, and one, you like construction, you like building cool shit for cool people, doing it the right way, and not giving a shit about how you have to talk and be around your boss. You know, I worked for a contractor once, you couldn't curse, or you had to be just perfect in everything you do. And, you know, we're CBs, dude. You know,
fuck that shit.
We're going to throw it up. It's going to look good. You know, I get it.
Podcast. This is why.
Yeah.
You know, I get it. When you're messing with people's retirement money, you know, it's scary. So they want you to act professional. And I get that. There's a professional side of this. But, you know, when you're on a job site and you're 60 and you got the radio blaring, it's the same camaraderie whether you're Camp Shelby in a fighting pit doing effects, or you're whatever on a mechanic and you're fixing planes and your buddy's throwing wrenches at you. You know, it's the same thing. That camaraderie is something we miss. And I think that's why I want to bring veterans in. I want to bring people that understand you can bullshit and still do a job. You're not going to stop talking because you can't talk and work at the same time. You know, it just creates a really good environment, and you're doing cool stuff for cool people.
Yeah. So what kind of jobs do you think you could do? Maybe if they weren't looking to get hired, that's nice if they're looking to get hired, but
yeah,
what they, some people might already have jobs. What kind of jobs would you take?
So yeah, we are a full service contracting company. I can build your entire house from the ground up, from foundation to the last shingle on the roof. We offer every service you can imagine. We have electricians, plumbers, handymans, and this company is eventually going to split into three companies. That's my 10-year goal, is to have CB Homes, which is just new builds, custom homes. CB Home Improvements, what I'm doing now, it's kind of a little bit of both, new builds, improvements, handyman stuff. And then I want a handyman division. I want to put 50 trucks in California, all with CB Home Improvements on it, just handyman stuff.
I'm going to talk to you afterwards because I got some stuff in the backyard that I maybe
done. I'll be there right now. Right.
Mama. Yeah, he's going to get the corporate jet. He'll probably just fly right on in.
Yeah, fly that right in.
That'll rattle to fly me up there.
Yeah, let's.
Yeah, I'll just cover the gas. No problem.
Yeah, Max.
Gas on the jet, right? Not on my car.
the jet fuel.
Yeah, so we offer everything. I mean, if there's something wrong with your house, we can fix it or make it better or destroy it, whatever you want. We do everything. We flipped a couple houses on the East Coast recently. We did one on the West Coast up in San Francisco. We can do whatever you need. So if that tile is cracked and you want it down, let's rip it up. Let's put some new tile in. If that shitty shower insert that every home builder in the world puts a plastic shower shirt, you want that garbage out, let's put it out. Let's pull it out and put some cool tile in there. Let's do something cool. Because the biggest thing right now is bathrooms, you know, because nobody wants to put any money in their house because kitchen and baths, that's where it's at.
Yeah, that's the quickest way to make some money is just improve the kitchen and bath.
Yep, absolutely.
Yeah, that's how you make women swoon also.
Exactly. So, yeah, I can do anything for you guys, anything for anybody out there. And I offer, you know, referral fees. Now, if you pass my business card out there and I steal a job with a little bit, you're going to get a little kickback from that. You know, you help me brand and get my name out there, and I can track the path came from you to them. No problem. Get a little referral fee right there.
Just so you know, guys, that's Sheepdog Ops. Make sure you put that in
there. It's a little more complicated than that, but
I'm trying, you know.
Oh, for sure. You know, absolutely. If we get some bids from this, you know, absolutely, guys. We're here to help each other. I want to get the Sheepdog Ops out there in front of my business and my guys. And same thing for you.
Slap a T-shirt on and I'll be happy as damn can be. That's all
sure. Mike, we're going to make this happen?
Nah, he wants a referral fee.
No, Mike wants the referral fee. I want to make sure that we can build this, grow this.
Well, what if happens if the T-shirt's more expensive than the referral fee?
Oof.
Just
that's
saying.
I
didn't see how much the referral fee was going to be.
That's a shitty referral fee.
It's going to be like your savings account at the bank. That's what it's going to be like.
I'll be like, I think I'm going to go get a job or something.
No, I got a form. It's got a percentage of the job, depending on how it's taken out. And when it happens, then we'll absolutely talk about it. And I want to get everybody involved. You know, I want to build 100 homes next year. I want to do big things. I want to take over the world. I really do.
That's a lofty goal, man.
Yeah.
Okay, so your phone number, your website, your email, how do they all get a hold of you?
All right, so name is Joe Axiotis. The company is CB Home Improvements. General contracting company out of Rockland, California. You can check us out on Instagram at CB Homes and Facebook at Facebook.CBHomes.whatever. I don't know. I haven't been on Facebook in a long time. So you guys know about Facebook, you can find me. Instagram is at Instagram at CB Homes.
It's just Charlie Bravo Home Improvements, right?
Yeah. CB Home Improvements, Charlie Bravo. Yeah.
Yeah. Great guy. Great guy. Great company. Guys, get out there, support him, take a job, flip your house, do your tile. Whatever, you know, he's going to put an air conditioning in my garage, and then he's also going to fix my bathroom leak that he came and assessed when we met up. So good guy, great guy. We'll have all of his information at the bottom of the podcast on our website, on Sheepdog Ops YouTube channel and the Battle Rattle YouTube channel.
Cool.
Yeah. What else could we do, Jerry? What do you think?
Is there anything else that you want to make sure that you pop in here? Anything else you want to talk about, Joe, before we start transitioning to this next stage?
Yeah, absolutely. If there's any kids out there listening to that are on that fence of joining the military or going to college or getting a trade, I'm telling you, get a trade. Get a trade. Go to school. Learn how to work with your hands. And if you don't do it right off the bat, that's good. You need the foundation. When this world turns to shit, which eventually it's going to, you know, people are going to have to rebuild it. And people need hands. You know, the trades, it's so hard to find talented guys out here right now. It's kind of sad. There's so much money on the table right now for good quality tradesmen. You can't fill them. I cannot fill gaps fast enough with quality people. Everybody can say it. They can talk the talk, but nobody can walk the walk. So
yeah, every nook and cranny needs fixing if you really look at it, but nobody could do it, really. No,
so go to trade. Learn how to weld. Learn how to frame. Finish concrete. Learn rebar. Learn structure. You know, if you're a computer guru, go be a professional engineer. Get these stamps that you need to make blueprints. You know, I like college. It's awesome. If that's for you, go ahead and do it. If you want to dive into the military and do that by all means. Just become a CB.
Yeah. Well, join the Air Force and get one job. Just one.
I can't stress that enough. I think we're living in a time where the education is so broken. So get out there and learn a craft, learn a trade, learn how to build something.
Because it's so many schools out there. And if you get your post 9/11 GI Bill or GI Bill, it's paid for. So go use it. Learn something. That's my message. If I give anything that anybody's on the fence of military, school, whatever, go learn something. Learn how to work with your hands.
Have a skill. Because that's the biggest thing. You look at all these kids who are out here screaming for money and they don't have any skills. They don't have any way to make money. And if you're out here hooting and hollering that I want money for nothing, because just because you can read a book doesn't mean that you can do a job. I've been in that argument more times than I care to share at this point in my life and in the last 6 months alone, the last decade. So I a complete agreement with you. Just get a skill. Have something.
You got to. And there's a huge stigma that a contractor or a mechanic, somebody's got dirt under their fingernails, is lesser for some reason. I'll compare bank accounts with any of you fuckers. Like, work with your hands and earn a good living.
You know, appreciate more.
Exactly. I think there's a stigma. You know, when I've seen it. I walk into some of these grocery stores out here, and I'm all covered in tile mud and concrete, and I'm, you don't belong here. Bitch, I will slap you in.
I just had this conversation with my kids, and we'll make this brief, obviously. But they were looking at somebody. Somebody said something about cleaning porta potties, and they looked down on it and scoffed their nose. I said, hey, you know what? That person right there, it's still their ass every single day. They may smell like shit, but I guarantee you they are proud of the work that they're doing, because when they bring home their check, it's an honest paycheck that they know that they didn't scheme someone out of to get. And they are blue collar working people that earned their money for what they did. They didn't just walk in.
And there's money to be made in that area. You know, do your time, put your time in, know who's who in the zoo. Don't think you're going to get the keys to the castle on day one. Shut your mouth, put your head down, and just work. Just do work. That's my message. Do work.
Yeah, become an expert. Learn the craft. Takes a while. And pick up. Just because I pick up shit doesn't mean my bank account is shit. Something like that.
And not even that. You know, it's like people compare teachers and garbage men. Like, who you think makes more money? You know, depending on what state. You know, the salary is almost exactly the same. You got a guy that's making an honest living and a teacher salary doing the same thing. You know, they're very close depending on where you're at. You know, but
yeah.
Guys, thanks for everything. I really appreciate it. I hope this, turns into something big. I hope I can help you guys out. Anybody out there needs help, give me a call, 916-406-3606. Questions, comments, concerns. And veterans, if you don't know how to do something, you want to lay your own tile, call me. I'll come over for an hour, and I'll show you how to lay your tile. You want to frame a new bathroom, I will show you this stuff. You don't have to hire me. I will show you this stuff. It's easy.
You know what? That has been the coolest thing that we've found with every single veteran or every single person that runs their own business on here, that I will talk to you. I will help you. You don't have to sit here and hire me, but I want to make sure that you're doing it right if you're going to do it yourself. You guys aren't going to find that in any other community.
Yeah, you would never find that.
Entire world at this point that's willing to do that for people like us, the sheepdog mindset that we have. And so as we transition, because
it's because we had so much of the Barney style training in the military, we kind of Barney style it for each other. But you don't realize how valuable that
is. How important it is. Yeah.
You have to break it down to the dumbest person all the time, man. But it's so cool. It's great.
The messages has got to be clear at all levels. No matter, it's just all levels, the message has got to be clear. And also take that phone number. And you guys out there need a phone call, shoulder, whatever, you know, don't hesitate. You don't want to call any other place, be out, you know, suicide prevention hotlines, all that stuff. You need a shoulder to talk to that has real world experience. By all means, call that phone number, boys.
Absolutely. We'll make sure that gets on there, Joe. We'll make sure all your stuff is on all of our descriptions for every place that we post this at. So you guys will have that information, websites, Instagram, Facebook, all that stuff. I want to get this transition because I know we're starting to get in here where we're going to ramble if we keep going. Mike, I know you've got some promotion stuff going on, especially with 4th of July coming up. And veteran, actually, we have PTSD awareness is coming up here in the next couple of days. I think it's tomorrow. So just a heads up. So what do you got going on over there with Battle Rattle, Mike?
Right now for July 4th, it's the promo code is B1G1, buy one, get one. Basically a $25 coupon for buying to load your cart up with a couple things, basically a buy one, get one. For PTSD awareness, guys, if you're a veteran out there and you need some help, just type in the code veteran. Guys, it's going to give you automatic discount. If you ever need anything for that awareness, or like I sent a guy a t-shirt the other day. I don't know if he'll get mad at me for using his name, so I won't use his name, but it's incredible the amount that you could help people with. What he hit me up one day and he said, hey, look, man, I'm really suffering. I just got back. I've been suffering with PTSD, major issues for a long time. And he said, all I want is these three t-shirts. And I was like, well, free guy, I have no idea who you are. But something at the bottom of me said, even if this guy, who would fake about being in the military? Like, you just kind of have to be a whatever. So I sent him more than what he asked for. And I was like, man, I hope that really is a guy, a vet who's suffering, because I never talked to him on the phone. So anyway, he wore it. He told everybody about it. And just today, he said, look, Mike, your stuff's so quality. It's so rocking around here. He's in one of the, around New York. So he bought $100 worth of stuff today for him, his friends, everybody that's supporting him right now. Because he's in not a hospital, but you know how they house you.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's just it goes a long way to get out there and help your people.
It feels good at night. When you lay down and put your head, it feels good at night. You know, you wake up knowing that you're doing something right for other people. You know?
Yeah. Yeah, I couldn't have got that feeling if I didn't send him that stuff. And I was waiting to hear from him, too. And today was that day. So just because you mentioned the PTSD thing, I thought I'd mention that. But, you know – yeah, and then we want to get – one other thing I was going to mention to Jerry and Joseph is when we get together with this other organization that we met that does these live events, maybe you guys could come and meet more veterans and we can all collaborate and maybe even do a live podcast at one of these events, because there's so many vets that need help, man.
Yeah.
Like these guys is on my mind and they're commenting on the post that we do, but just to get the people together, get the community together. Whatever they need, let's find out what they need and let's help them. And of course, they're going to support our podcast. They're going to support your construction company. They're going to buy shirts and we're all going to help each other.
We're all going to hang out on his podcast.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. That's exactly what I'm here for.
Yeah. So as far as Sheepdog Ops goes, we need Jerry, we'll get into that. But let's go into maybe taking some donations and stuff. Just two things. So the code, buy one, get one, guys, get it before July 4th. We have another automatic thing you'll see in our emails. If you have $125 in your checkout and above that, you automatically will give you a $25 discount. So it's like you spend over $100, you spend $100 and you get a free t-shirt. Automatic, no questions asked. We got these beautiful new flasks, you guys. Look at this. Beautiful, beautiful. A Spartan Hydroponics makes these for us, guys. Kept my ice cold all day long. And then they have their own embossed little Spartan in there. I don't know if you can see it.
Nice, yeah.
But it's there's a coating over it, but that Spartan pops in real life. So that's a flask. And then we got these little coffee mugs, little Ozark coffee mugs. So that's the real deal right here, you guys. So come out and support us. And then I'll leave it to you, Jerry, my man, what we need for the podcast. we got to keep this thing going. We got to get you paid. So let's get that.
So in going back to what Mike's saying, also they've got new designs coming out like every other day. Basically, they're pumping stuff out. I've seen it. I'm actually involved in that process right now, and I'm loving every bit of it. We've got new designs, new things coming up all the damn time. So go check it out. There's always something new going on, always something new shirt, especially right now. We're hitting hard with like Constitution stuff. We're hitting hard with flag stuff.
Yeah. Oh, we got, sorry to interrupt you, man. Just because you're on the subject, guys, before July 4th, we've got like five, sorry about this. We've got five new biker designs coming out. A gentleman that says, "Hey man, what's up with your bikers? You know, not feeling the love." So we said, "You know what? Fuck that. We're gonna give you fucking, you know."
That's not what we said. We asked, "Was he talking about bicycles or motorcycles?"
But yeah, so it turned out, you know, so we got bike, and then we got about four or five also July 4th special designs coming out, and those come out every day, you guys. So check the website every day.
Oh, absolutely. And we're putting together new design concepts and stuff. I know that me and you have been working on this patch stuff that we've been really heart heavy for, because I think it's an important one. I think getting back to some of those roots and stuff of that.
I love all that stuff. The patches, the morale boosters and the patches and all that. So a lot of that coming out. I love it. Thank you, man. And thank you for everything. Thank you.
And any way I can help, guys, too, if you know you need something for the house or anything like that, or promotions, anything I can do to squeeze in to get more business to you guys, by all means, you know. I don't know exactly how your stuff works, but if I can get in there and talk to some people and expose you guys for even more, by all means, just, you know, phone call away.
I think the live events will do that, because we'll actually meet the people who are watching this podcast.
That's a genius idea. And I've been thinking about this while you guys were talking. I know you're trying to get out of here. When we do those podcast ideas, or the open live ones, not only can you talk to veterans about veteran shit, you know, you can bring into, hey, if you have a construction question, there's, trust me, if your toilet's right, there's 70 other toilets leaking as well. If
right.
They catch us on this, you know, podcast. Yeah. This is what Knucklehead said. Does it work?
Yeah, everybody's got the same issue, man. And then we got mortgage brokers and loan guys there. So if they need a house, I'm personally going to start another company that's going to do loans for vets. So it's like, dude, we're fucking going to hit this vet market hard. We are there to make the Corps strong. It's like the NCO Corps, man. I don't know. I'm enlisted, or the officer corps. But our Corps, after the Army or after the things, they don't stop. We're going to keep being there for each other, keep meeting up. You need construction work. You need to be on the podcast. You need exposure. What do you need? We want to be that. That's
absolutely
so much more.
Absolutely.
Sorry. I just, my mind.
I said rambling. You see it? He now kind of gets into business mode and just starts rambling.
Yeah.
You guys both get it. I understand it. Like, I see it. But it's a little different for me. And I'll let you guys go.
We got to get you excited, man.
I'm stoked. Hey, I get to sit here and talk to people like you every day, Joe. I get to talk to Mike every day. I get to talk to people like Veteran Effects, which is who we're talking about doing these live events with on a monthly basis, doing a couple of them a month. I get that opportunity to sit here and bullshit with you guys and get your story out there, get your business out there, get your what you have to say to somebody who needs to hear it. And, you know, it may be, hey, I need a contractor, but I don't want to go with Joe Blow down the street who's going to upcharge me and keep changing prices. I want to go with a guy that I know where he's been. I know what he's done. Yeah. We've done the same shit.
Yeah. And we've served with them and their military and all that.
Exactly. But
I think we should hit on, we need to make money on this podcast. So we want to say, you guys, he has a Patreon. Sheepdog Ops has a Patreon. We need those donations. We need more people to come on this podcast. We need, you know, we started the ads on Anchor FM, but they're not nearly enough. So we might integrate those into here. I'm not sure, but we need to figure out a way to take the donations and stuff. So
how about this? Genius. Anybody donates this podcast right now, I will match that with labor to a project. You donate $50, I'm gonna give you $100 towards labor. You donate $100, I'm gonna give you $200 toward labor. You give $1,000, I'm gonna give you $2,000 in labor. Labor only. That's my deal. Sign it. Got it.
You guys heard it here straight from the horse's mouth. We ain't pulling nothing. This ain't getting edited. Nothing's going to get changed. Exactly what Joe said is what's going to happen. We appreciate every dollar, every dime, everything that goes back into this. I don't take anything myself. As a matter of fact, I put into this. I make sure that we update and integrate everything that we can to give a better product. Oh, yeah. Fuck yeah. We had a whole conversation about it earlier. move this to the next level sooner than later. And it's just, it's taking it one piece at a time. Unfortunately, it costs money. So again, like we were saying, Anchor has the ability to where you can donate and subscribe to the channel if you'd like. I know that we try to keep this as free as possible because we know there's people out here who can't afford it, and that's okay. We get it.
That's okay. It is what it is.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. We have the Patreon account. We have the ability to go order the Sheepdog Ops stuff from Battle Rattle right there. They have all of our designs. They have all of our stuff. Helping those guys out helps me out, and that's exactly what it comes down to, because you're on their website. You're making sure you're buying the gear, equipment, and stuff like that. Make sure when you are buying the stuff, let them know that we sent you. Let them know that you came from here.
Yeah, put it in the seller. Put it in the seller's notes for sure.
Just in the seller's notes.
Yeah.
That way we know that it's driving people. We've got the people coming in and they're going there. It's not that you're, you know, I'm driving for these guys to give me stuff. I'm not. I'm never going to do that. I'm never going to ask them for that.
It's the first time I ever met you.
And then he complained about not being able to have a beer. Anyway.
All right. So three easiest ways. Correct me if I'm wrong. Patreon, they could donate. Subscribe to us on anchor.fm. Website, anything. Search the Sheepdog Ops podcast. Buy anything Sheepdog Ops off battlerattle.com. What else? Who are they going to email if they want to take Joe up on his offer? And what's your email?
The email for Sheepdog Ops right now is sheepdogmindset@gmail.com. If you're looking for anything, you're looking for this information, you can definitely contact me and I can get you in touch with either of these guys. If you're not going straight to their websites that we'll have directly below this video right now. Obviously that's open for anything. We were just talking about it before the podcast started. I want to make sure that I hit on this too, because this is my biggest thing is, this last week, I've talked to two different vets who are going through some PTSD, going through some suicide issue stuff, and other personal issues that I don't really want to blast on here. But I was able to email them back and forth, get them on different social media platforms where I could talk to them and calm them down and bring them back down to us. We've done that quite a few times here with just my stuff. I have other resources we're actually bringing in, so that way you can contact them and get more help than what I can give you, maybe. Whether it be Veteran Effects, we're actually getting ready to start working with a local group out here in Fresno, California, a Combat for Veteran Hopes, or a Hope for Combat Veterans. We're starting to work with them. I've got their information. I'm really excited about moving forward with them. I've got a couple VA guys out there that I'm really that run non-profit veteran groups that you can contact, and they can get with you and make sure day or night that you have somebody to talk to.
Well, shit, who's rambling now?
I'm passionate. I want to make sure that we have the resources for the people that need them. And not only that, I'm actually starting to contact the 1199 Foundation so we can get some Officer Down stuff going on with us. I want to talk to some firefighter organizations so we can reach out there, because as I said last week when we were talking to Dell, that firefighter from Albuquerque, New Mexico, this isn't just military guys. This is an entire mindset group, and we all think the same. We all have the same mindset where we're here to protect people, and we're willing to do it, and we're a family for doing it. And when you get around each other, it's, you know, we pick up like nothing fucking – we don't even know each other, like Joe said.
Community, man. It's a unique community. And it's good to be a part of, and I really appreciate the opportunity to come on here. Let me ramble, and I hope we do more. I hope to get out these live events and educate people in construction, the process, everything that, educate people on some of the weapons laws maybe around here, things like that. So anyway, thanks, guys. I really appreciate it.
Not a problem, Joe. Mike, do you have anything last things?
I'd just say I can't wait to meet you guys coming out here. I'm going to try and get – you know, the local gun owners out there with us. And of course, like Joseph, you out to these next events and stuff like that to actually meet us, get more involved. And it's all for you guys to help you guys. So, and then donate to the Sheepdog podcast. You could donate to support at Battle Rattle or sheepdogmindset@gmail, Patreon, or
I believe we have the PayPal all set up. So anywhere that you guys want to anchor.fm. Mike, do you know when the next Veteran Effects, thing is, I know that they're skipping a week, correct?
I think so. I think it's July 18th, but I'll put it on there. I'm not exactly sure.
Okay. Well, we'll make sure we get that information out to you guys who want to reach out. Joe, again, I really appreciate you taking the time, bullshitting with us, having a good time.
Anytime, man. Appreciate it.
And if you ever have any ink, you know, you want to get on, hankering to come back on and talk about something, something just eating at you that you want to talk about, don't hesitate to reach out to us before we reach out to you to pull you back on.
For sure. We'll definitely do it, man. We can make it whenever we want. I appreciate the opportunity.
All right. And as we do when we end this every single week that we do this podcast right now, remember, guys, don't be the sheep in the fight. Be the dog. You know, man.